What if your anger isn't a problem to solve, but a doorway to freedom? Lama Rod Owens, a Black queer Buddhist teacher, offers a revolutionary perspective in Love and Rage. Drawing from his own journey through racial trauma, depression, and spiritual practice, he reveals how our most difficult emotions can become pathways to liberation. In a world that tells marginalized people to suppress their anger, Owens invites us to instead develop a wise relationship with rage, one that honors its protective function while transforming its energy into clarity and compassionate action. This isn't spiritual bypassing or toxic positivity. It's a radical practice of presence that acknowledges suffering while creating enough spaciousness around it to prevent being consumed by it. Anger isn't what we think it is. It's not a primary emotion, but a protective response that emerges when we feel wounded but don't know how to care for ourselves. That's why anger feels like a tight, hot sensation in the body. It's literally our system contracting to shield our vulnerable places. Growing up as a Black man in America, Owens learned early that his anger was considered dangerous while white friends could express rage freely. This conditioning led him to disconnect from his anger, pushing it underground where it manifested as passive aggression and deepening depression. At the heart of Owens' approach is reclaiming agency, understanding that while we can't control what happens to us, we can choose our response. This happens through the SNOL method. See it, name it, own it, experience it, let it go, let it float. When strong emotions arise, we first see them through bodily sensations. Anger might show up as chest tightness or shallow breathing. This observation creates space between experience and reaction. Naming transforms neutral bodily sensations into categorized feelings. The act of labeling is where pleasure and pain begin. A sensation remains neutral until interpreted. Owning our emotions is crucial, especially for marginalized groups historically disconnected from their feelings. For Black Americans, this disconnection traces to slavery's denial of emotional expression. Ownership restores agency. Experiencing emotions means observing without resistance. Letting go isn't about bypassing feelings, but choosing which experiences serve our well-being. Letting it float extends this through repeated relaxation of reactivity. This spaciousness is where happiness resides, Owens explains. Not happiness that requires absence of difficult emotions, but one that coexists with anger or sadness, making life's struggles more manageable. To navigate difficult emotions, we need a container of love and support. Owens expands on the Buddhist concept of taking refuge through his seven homecomings practice. The homecomings connect us with guides, teachers and mentors, wisdom texts, sources of truth, community, people supporting mutual growth, ancestors, past beings who sustain us, the earth, our elemental nature, silence, space for inner wisdom, and ourselves, radical self-acceptance. This circle of care anchors us during emotional challenges. Owens's personal guides include his grandmother Betty and spiritual teachers, while his wisdom texts span Buddhist scriptures to James Baldwin. His community practices sacred conflict, acknowledging discord while maintaining boundaries and focusing on love. The earth homecoming grounds us in our physical nature. When embodied, we connect with the earth directly. Trauma can disconnect us from this sensitivity. The final homecoming, to ourselves, may be most crucial. It means embracing all aspects of our being, even in pain. This radical acceptance embodies self-love and initiates true embodiment. Nothing fragmented can ever be freed, Owens explains. For marginalized people, disembodiment, a disconnection from physical responses and emotional awareness, has been a key mechanism of oppression. For Black Americans, this disembodiment traces back to the Middle Passage and centuries of enslavement. This trans-historical trauma lives on in present-day bodies, as Owens illustrates through his visceral reactions to police presence, Responses rooted in both ancestral memory and personal experiences of racial profiling. Embodiment work means reclaiming the body and healing trauma through practices like earth touching, Bhumisparsha. Ultimately, Owens writes, embodiment is learning to love everything, including what is unlovable, creating space for transformation through radical acceptance. Beneath our anger lies heartbreak, what Owens describes as a disembodied expression of deep disappointment that longs to be cared for. This heartbreak encompasses both personal and collective historical suffering. Growing up Black, Owens learned to equate Blackness with suffering. Church teachings positioned heaven as the promised land, a narrative he later recognized as conditioning Black people to accept oppression while others prospered on earth. Heartbreak manifests as displacement, a feeling of not belonging in one's body or world. For Owens, this connects to the loss of magic, the ancestral practices that kept his people connected to both material and unseen worlds. Liberation begins with mourning and accepting heartbreak. Being in power with heartbrokenness means meeting wounds with friendliness, creating space around discomfort. Remembering our true magic is revolutionary, Owens declares. This remembering connects us to our inherent capacity for joy and bliss, where distractions fall away, leaving freedom, clarity, and openness. In the end, Owens returns to love as the central principle of liberation. This isn't sentimental love, but the fierce love that can hold space for mistakes, for the violence done to us, and for the violence we've done to others. Only by loving these unlovable parts can we begin to receive the love that has always surrounded us. Sustainable activism must be rooted in love, not anger. Anger points us toward injustice, but love gives us the resilience to address it effectively. Perhaps most importantly, Owens emphasizes the need for beloved community, spaces where we can be different while understanding how certain differences carry different kinds of power. His personal ethic is to be in power with himself and others, not power over or under, but power with. This path isn't easy. It requires us to face our heartbreak, to mourn what has been lost, to feel our anger fully without being consumed by it. It demands that we reclaim our bodies from trauma and reconnect with the earth and our ancestors. But the alternative, remaining fragmented, disembodied, and disconnected, leads only to more suffering. What if your anger isn't asking to be suppressed, but to be heard? What if the path to freedom runs straight through the heart of your rage? Perhaps the revolution we've been waiting for isn't about changing the world first, but about having the courage to feel everything, to love even what seems unlovable, and discovering that this radical acceptance is what transforms us and ultimately our world. Love emerges as the central principle of liberation. Not sentimental love, but fierce love that holds space for mistakes and violence, both received and inflicted. Only by loving these unlovable parts can we receive the love that surrounds us. This path requires us to face heartbreak, mourn losses, and feel anger without being consumed by it. We must reclaim our bodies from trauma, reconnect with the earth and ancestors, and practice genuine kindness, even when difficult. The alternative of remaining fragmented and disconnected leads only to suffering. By embracing love and rage, our difficult emotions become doorways to liberation. Our wounds transform into wisdom, and our rage evolves into compassionate commitment to justice. In a world profiting from our disconnection, the most revolutionary act is reclaiming our wholeness. Loving the unlovable, speaking truth when silence seems safer, and transforming anger through spaciousness and compassion into fuel for collective liberation.